Shavuos Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph. We now begin the seventh perek of Maseches Shavuos, and the topic of the perek is Shavuos HaMishnah, various rabbinically instituted Shavuos that come from the time of the Mishnah, that in contrast to the Shavuos Doraisa, there are three of those, we'll say in a second again, and the Shavuos Hesed, which is from the time of the Gemara, later on for someone who denies a claim in full. So the starting point of our Mishnah says, Kol Nishban Shebet Torah. When it comes to the Doraisa Shavuos, there are three, and all of those have the same common denominator, that it's Nishban Velo Mishalman. It's all on the defendant, the Nishba, the one who's being demanded of something, where there's not enough evidence to confirm he has to pay, but there's certainly circumstantial evidence that he should have to pay, so we won't make him pay, but he will have to swear that he doesn't have to pay. So that's the Shavua of the Doraisa. It's done with Nikitas Chayfetz, he's holding a Sefer Torah or a Tefillin and the like, and he is swearing he's not obligated to pay, and those again come in three varieties. You have the Shavuos Modu Miktas, where he admits a partial claim, but not the full thing, Shavuos Eid Echad, where there's one witness that says he owes the money, but not two, and Shavuos HaShomrim, we'll see in the 8th parak, which is that he's swearing he doesn't have to pay for some liability that would otherwise have been incurred when he was acting as a custodian. Okay, so those are the three that are Doraisa, and again, the common denominator, says the Mishnah, is that it's for the defendant, the nitba, the person who's being demanded of, to swear and not pay. But now we see that ve'elu nishban v'notlin. There are certain scenarios in which, and these are all rabbinic in nature, shvuos ha-mishnah, where a person could take a shvua and then, as a plaintiff, as the toveya, and collect money. Okay, these are all rabbinic in nature, and there are really five of them. We'll see as the parak goes on, there's some other rabbinic shvuos besides for these, but these are the shvuos ha-notlin, and there are to collect, and there are five. They are, says the Mishnah, Hasachir, the day worker, the employee who works for his time. Vahanigzal, the person who ostensibly is a victim of theft. Vahanechbal, a person who ostensibly is a victim of personal injury. Vishekenegdo chashdu al hashvua, a scenario in which the defendant who normally would have to give a shvua in this case is not allowed to give a shvua because we don't trust his shvua. And Vahachenvani al Pinkaso, the storekeeper who is making a claim that he is owed money and that he delivered goods to, let's say, a person's child or the like, and now he has records that he gave the goods and he can now collect on those. So these five topics, the Sechir, the Nigzal, the Nechbal, the Shekenegdo Chashdol of Shvua, and the Chenvani al Pinkaso, they will be the topic of the next five Mishnayos. Okay, so let's explain them there, each in their proper place. And now the first Mishnah will say the first of the five, still in Mishnah Aleph, the Sechir. So what is the Sechir? The Sechir is a worker. He's paid for his time. Let's say he's supposed to work, from morning to night. And then, I'll say it outside first, basically he claims he wasn't paid and the employer says he was paid. So we're going to believe the employee that he was not paid. And he, as long as he takes a shvua, he swears he's owed the money, we'll believe him. There are a couple caveats I'll say at the end, but that's the basic point here. The rationale for this rabbinic enactment has really two sides to it. On the one side, we say it's hard to imagine anything more unfair, more heartbreaking than a person who essentially, does some labor, he lays bricks or he builds a house or whatever it is, chops wood, and then he's promised at the end of the day he'll have money to go home and bring to his family so they can eat, and to come the end of the day he wants to collect and he's not paid. So that is just considered to be a tremendous sort of injustice, unfairness, heartbreaking, and we don't want to go home and sort of show up as family, empty-handed and brokenhearted. So that's a good reason, because it's so bad, to sort of look to try to remedy this. At the same time, that wouldn't be enough, but at the same time, we realize that the employer is often very busy. He's distracted. He's got a lot going on. And even if he's well-meaning, he thinks he paid, he maybe didn't pay. So we can be pretty confident that it's the employee who's depending on the money and knows about it, who'll be much more mindful and aware of the fact that the employer, who's got a lot more to worry about than just paying this one particular person. So in this situation where employee says he was not paid and employer says yes, he was, we'll believe the employee. Okay, provided that the employee is prepared to swear a formal shvua that he wasn't paid, in which case we'll believe him. Okay, like I said, there are a couple of caveats, but to the Mishnah inside first. The Mishnah says, Hasachir Ketzad, what's the case of the employee who is believed by swearing? Amar lo tenli sachari sheyeshli biyadcha. The employee says, please give me the money you owe me for my work. Hu omer nasati. And the employer says, what do you mean? I gave it to you already. Vahala omer lo natalti. He says, well, I didn't get it, says the employee. I didn't get that money. Hu nishba v'notal, says the Mishnah. The employee is allowed to swear he didn't get paid, and then he can collect the money. I'll call it even quote-unquote again. He can collect the money that he wasn't paid. Okay, we believe him. The rationale, as I said before, and it's rabbinic enactment, of course. Now, there are a couple important caveats to make sure that are clear here. The first is, there's a very tight window in which we'll believe this. It's not like a week later they start arguing over whether they paid or not. There's a mitzvah from the Torah that you must pay your worker promptly after he does his work for you. The pasuk, there are actually two psukim. One says, Lo salin pu'ulas sahir itcha ad boker. You shouldn't withhold the wages of your work until the morning, the next day. So he worked for you for the day, you have to pay him that night. And there's another pasuk, it says, B'yomo titan tzcharo v'lo savo alav hashemesh. Then you also have a obligation to pay him that day before the sun sets. Because I understand, someone who works during the day has to pay him the following night, and someone works during the night has to pay him the following day, like in the next 12-hour period. That's a mitzvah from the Torah. And if the claim of not being paid occurs during that period, we believe the plaintiff, the employee, with a shvua to be able to collect the money because he's saying he wasn't paid. And again, we want to avoid this terrible sort of emotionally destructive injustice, perceived injustice of not being paid. Another point that's important here is because that's what's driving this is the guy sort of, you know, worked and didn't get paid and that's so bad. It's not about if they're arguing over how much should be paid. In other words, if the employer says, you know, we agreed on $10 an hour and the employee says, no, it was $20 an hour, we're not going to let him swear and take $20 an hour. No. That would go back to the usual rules. This is specifically where the employee said he didn't get paid at all and the employer says, yes, he did get paid. Then we believe the employee because of the reasons I said before. Fine. Now the Mishnah's not done. The Mishnah actually has Rabbi Yehuda here. Rabbi Yehuda is going to crop up essentially in all the coming Mishnayos with the same basic point. According to Rabbi Yehuda, which is not lehalacha, the rabbis weren't so lenient as to allow a person, the plaintiff, the toveya, to take a shavua and collect, forcing the defendant, the nitba, to pay, unless the nitba already was in a situation where the Torah required him to take a shavua. And in such a scenario, says Rabbi Yehuda, the rabbis just switched the roles, where instead of the defendant, the nitba, taking a shvua and not paying, we'll say the plaintiff, the toveya, could take a shvua and yes, collect. So it's much more limited scope. That's what the Mishnah says here inside. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ad shetehe sham miktsas hoda. It has to be that the employer is making a partial admission. In other words, he's admitting that he didn't pay part, but he's denying part. Then you've got the motive mixtas situation. Now it's shvua motive mixtas. The defendant, the employer, would have to swear midoraisa, and then Rabbi Yehuda says in such a scenario, and instead of him swearing and not pay, we'll make the plaintiff swear they didn't get the balance, and he'll get paid. So says the Mishnah, for example, gives the illustration. Ketzad amalo tenli sechari chamishim dinar sheyesh li biyadcha. The employee says, "You owe me 50 dinar. Please give them to me." V'omer his kabalta dinar zahav. He says, well, you already got paid 25. Literally, dinar zahav is a golden dinar, but that's the equivalent of 25 silver dinar. The point is, the employer says, well, I paid you half. I meant you the other half, but one half I already paid you. That's motiv miktsas, that's mechayev b'shvu, and there, Buddha says, we'd allow the employee to take a shvu and collect the missing half, but not in a generic case. But the Tanakhama says yes in any case, in every case like I described before, and the halacha is like the Tanakhama.